So today I'm going to start with a little bit of politics, mostly because I really feel like Parshat Vayishlach is very political. And what I mean by political is not inter-Jewish political, but international politics. Because it's the story of Yaakov and Esav, and Yaakov's dealings with Esav. And when I read them again this year, each time I read them again, I try to read them a little bit new, it really bothered me. I'll explain to you why. And so I'll start with the politics that bother me. I mean, it just so happens that right now, we're in the middle of a little parsha where the United States is trying to force Israel into another one of these settlement freezes in order to force us to come to agreement with people that don't really want to agree with us at all anyway. You know, and you'll notice that the whole thing makes you feel very much ill at ease. I don't know about you, it makes me feel ill at ease. Like, you know, if people really want to come together, we'll figure it out. But to try to coerce and force and pressure and you know, like, one wonders, are we doing ourselves any favors? Are we to be pressured like this and to allow ourselves to be pressured? And how much do you push back? And I bring this up not to talk politics or not to talk international Israel politics in a chumash here, but only because, as I mentioned, this is really the theme, one of the major themes of the beginning of Parashat Vayishlach, because we see how Yaakov deals with Esav. And I'll just tell you up front that reading it today, the way I read it, and in the time and the place in which I read it, the beginning of Parashat Vayishlach bothers me very much. And I'll explain to you what I mean, and then we'll see. And today we'll spend some time reading the Midrash, and then we'll spend some time reading the Ramban. Quite a few comments of the Ramban to see how he viewed it. And then we'll ask our question, well, in light of what the Ramban says, in light of what Midrash says, what are we supposed to learn about? What are we supposed to learn from Vayishlach for today? So we're going to start at the beginning of Vayishlach, which is Perek Lamed Bet, Pasuk Dalet, okay? And point out some things in the Psukim from the stories that what? Well, that's not meaningful. Meaning the people who made the divisions of the Prakim and Psukim, we're not particularly, what's the word I'm looking for?
Jewish.
Right. We're not Jewish. So the Parshiot, I mean the Parshiot are Jewish obviously, but the Prakim and Psukim, it's in the middle of whatever. Okay. Just so you know, how do you know what a Jewish Parsha is and a non-Jewish Parsha is? If you look in the Torah, see the end of last week's Parsha ends with the pay, like Parsha, that's a Parsha Petucha. So if you look in the Torah itself, that's the end of a paragraph. So the Torah does delineate itself into Prakim, but just not the ones. Why don't we use our own? I don't know. Like, it became codified so long ago. I have no idea. You know? How do you switch now?
It doesn't make sense that someone would get up and say, okay, now we're going to go according to. But I'm wondering, like, when they ever said it, why they said it according to.
Why do we follow that one? I don't know.
Maybe
it has to be kind of impressed. Take the historian, I guess, right? You need a historian to tell you. Okay. Arza Seir Sedei Adam. Yaakov sent Malachim before him to Esav, his brother, to the land of Seir, the fields of Edom. Okay? A couple things bother me about this pasuk. First of all, obvious one. Vayishlach Yaakov Malachim Lefanav El. What should it say? El Esav.
Esav. We
know it's his brother.
Correct. You know it's his brother. So what is it? Always, whenever you see information that you already know, you have to ask what is the Torah telling you. The answer is?
They were close at that point.
They were what?
They were
on good terms.
On good terms.
They were on good terms?
Not at all.
No, they were not on good terms at all. So last time they saw each other.
Oh, yeah, no, they're not on good terms.
Right. The last time he saw each other, he wanted to kill him.
Yeah.
How long ago was that, by the way?
But maybe he's nostalgic.
Yaakov's nostalgic? For what? For when they all got along?
24 years.
No, 22, no? Oh, right, 20, plus 14.
If you say that he's taken 14 years.
Right, 36 years. Right.
30s.
Last time he saw him was 36 years ago. Okay? El Esav Achiv. He's hoping it would be a brother.
Yeah.
Oh, very nice. Arza Seir Sedei Adam. What's he sending him a message for? What's the crux of the message? If you had to boil it down to four words.
Let's make don't peace. Brother.
That's three, right. Let's make peace. Don't fight with me. I have four words. Please don't kill me.
Okay.
Meaning, let's make peace implies.
Don't kill me.
No.
Don't
no.
Let's be friends.
Yeah.
Sit down on equal terms.
Ah. Right. Let's make peace implies they're on equal terms. But please don't kill me implies, please don't kill me. Right.
He's got a hold on it.
I'm blaming Tammy on the cake. Thank you. Okay, sorry. Mm-hmm. Right. Is that an appropriate tact to take? We'll see in a second. Why? The next question is a much more fundamental question. Where is Edom? Anybody know where Edom is?
It's to the east.
To the east. Yeah. Today you would say it's?
Iran.
No. Haran is Iran. Today you would say it's what?
Jordan or Saudi Arabia.
Jordan or Saudi Arabia, right. Southern Jordan. Okay, that's Edom. By the way, what do the hills look like in the mountains of Edom?
Red.
Red. Just to know. It's very interesting.
Wow.
Yeah. Where's Yaakov coming from?
South.
From Haran. How's he coming? The last place he was, he ended up in Machanayim. Okay, he got to this place called Machanayim. And he's going to end up pretty much up north in Shechem. He's coming back the same way he left. Mm-hmm. So let's think for a second. Geographically, Yaakov is coming around from the north, down through the Fertile Crescent to come back to his father. Where is Esav?
He's in Jordan.
In Jordan. Okay?
He's going a long route.
Well, the fundamental question is, why in the world does Yaakov send him a message at all?
Right. Why did he what?
Send him a message at all.
Oh, because he thought that he might hear he was coming and coming.
Why not? He's going out. He's going totally out of his way.
Yeah.
You know, he's not on a collision course with Esav.
So you're saying that he could have just avoided him and been quiet.
Why not? Wouldn't you try that first?
I don't know. If Esav is very powerful.
Right.
And if messages get from person to person the way they do nowadays... or even more so. I mean, one person tells another, hey, he's coming. Oh, he's coming. Did you know your brother?
Yeah, so you say you have to confront the issue. He just has to deal with it.
Exactly.
Get it out of the way.
Well, the concept of Ben Adam L'Chavera.
What do you mean?
He wanted to, like...
Make amends, be friends.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, not maybe he didn't make amends.
Sorry.
Right.
Like, well. Maybe he just felt like he was going back to return to his father.
Uh-huh. By the way, his father's still alive.
Right, and his father's going to say, so what's with your brother?
His father's going to say that?
Maybe. I mean, parents care about what goes on with his children. Maybe
I don't know. Dad, why don't you ask him? I haven't been around for 36 years.
Maybe he wants to go to his father with a full heart.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Fine. Vaitzav otam lemor. And he commands the messengers. By the way, what kind of messenger are these according to Rashi?
Angels.
Why? Why did Yaakov send... Ibn Ezra, by the way, says, Pashup Shad is he didn't send a messenger. Angels, he sent messengers. Okay? The simple Pashad is not that. Why would Yaakov send angels?
Because he tries to kill them?
What?
In case he would try to...
Very good. The Midrash says, Hayam evakesh shluach shluchim etzel Esav. He really wanted to send messengers. V'lo haya adam rotze lalechet. Nobody would go. Shehayu mityarim. They were afraid. You know, it's. What does it say that you're so scared that you won't even send messengers, that nobody will even go to deliver your message of peace? Not very good. And he commanded them, saying, "Ko tomrun la adoni le Esav. So say to my master Esav. Ko amar avdecha Yaakov. So says your servant Yaakov. Im lavan garti va'echar ad ata. Okay, I lived with Lavan, and I've been delayed until now.
Delayed.
What?
Enjoy.
I got hung up in in Haran. What? And I'm late. I'm a little late. Okay. Well, there are two things that one big thing and one small thing that bothers me about this pasuk. Reading the pasuk, anything bother you about it?
He's rubbish.
Of course he's right. Well,
making excuses.
What? Correct. By the way, but the major thing that bothers me is the groveling. But the minor thing that bothers me, I would say even more, is when he says the following, Ko tomrun la adoni la Esav. Who's he talking to when he says this?
The Malachim.
Where?
In Haran.
Well, in Anshamayim, I mean, whatever. Right. Where is he's in Machanayim, correct? He's having this private conversation with these angels or messengers or whatever.
And asking them to be subservient to Esav.
No, not asking them. That's fine.
He's
already putting himself subservient to Esav, even in his own private conversations. Is that not... You understand what I'm saying? It's not that he says, go say to Esav. And by the way, the Ramban says exactly this. The Ramban says what he means is, go speak to Esav as Adoni.
But often,
and that's not the simple understanding.
But often in a mediation or negotiation, you take a lowly kind of role in order to get a higher end.
Okay. Right.
That's what I mean. So that's what he's doing. This is where we learn how to negotiate.
Really? That's how you negotiate?
Well,
when you enter into negotiation, that's what you do? You say to your...
Depends
no,
you say depends to your... Depends who your opponent is.
Very good. You say to your co-negotiator, you know, I just want you to know before we even begin... Right, I have the utmost respect for you. I think you're the probably most talented lawyer
sometimes.
In the history of mankind, and I will do whatever you want.
Not I will do whatever you want. That's not what he's saying.
What is he saying?
He's saying he's trying to flatter.
He's
that's how it sounds like to you? Koamar Abdecha Yaakov, go to in your own private conversations, and we talk about that lawyer, you're like, yeah, we better be careful because he's really a good lawyer. We don't want to.
He's a really good lawyer. He's really dangerous, and you've got to make sure that you boost his.
You're again. You're coming. You are coming from a position of strength. Do you hear a position of strength here? In the words. Let's go on. Okay. Imavan garti vaichar ad ata. Even vaichar. What is vaichar? What is the implication? I'm late. Meaning what? Right. Late for what? That's what I'm asking you. What's he saying?
I'm late for apologizing.
I mean, it's like. Even in what the message, I really meant to like call you earlier, and I'm sorry it took me so long to get back
that.
To you. What?
I hate that.
Okay. Vayhili shor v'chamor, son ve'eved v'shivcha. I've got oxes and donkeys and sheep and servants and maidservants. V'ashlecha lahagid la'adoni. And I'm sending this message to you. Limtzo chen ve'einecha. To find favor in your eyes. Adoni, to my master, nimsochein be'inecha. Right? To find favor in your eyes. Vayashuvu ham. Okay, so here's the first question. In the Chazal, all of the Mefarshim deal with this question. What's he so afraid of?
Yaakov?
Yes.
Other than Esav killing him?
Esav's going to kill him. Okay, why shouldn't he be afraid? Of course, Esav. By the way, first of all, Esav said he wanted to come 36 years ago.
Yeah, but now he has a family.
Okay.
So
what? 36 years ago.
Well, Esau's hatred could have festered and grown, and he could have just become more and more angry as each day went by.
He has, but he has no idea.
No.
Doesn't mean he hasn't become angry, even though he has no idea Yaakov's coming.
Would you immediately send a message of complete and utter subservience and degradation and self-negation?
If you're dealing with a narcissist, it might be the only way to go.
Okay.
And maybe, and he feels obviously weak in comparison to what he thinks.
What he imagines Esav is, he feels weak. That's true. Okay. What does Esav say? Yeshuvu hamalachim el Yaakov le'mor. The angels come back to Yaakov and say, Banu el achicha el Esav, v'gam holech likratcha, v'arba me'ot ish imo. We've come. We came to your brother, and he also wants to see you. But he's not alone. He wants to see you with 400 of his best friends. Okay, right. And now it's what's interesting was what's left unsaid. What happened? They came with this message. What did Esav say?
He said, "Sure, I'll meet with him."
It's unclear. We don't even hear what they said.
Right.
What
his message was transmitted, even possibly without words.
Without words. Mm-hmm. Right? Did they complete their message? Did they banu el achicha el Esav? Did they speak with him?
Did they
convey his message?
Did they give him a gift?
Did they give him a gift? He sent gifts. It's unclear. You ever notice that? Like there's no... The information is not given. What happened?
Yeah, but it says Elachicha Elisav. So
yeah.
Why does it say Elachicha?
Very good. The Mefarshim
Mashal. Show that he's like a brother.
Rashi. Elachicha Elisav, says Rashi. Okay. Zayin Banu Elachicha Elisav. Shehayita Omer Achihu. But you wanted it to be your brother. Aval hu noheg imcha ke Esav harasha. Right? Banu el achicha. We tried to be brothers, but it was el Esav. So says Rashi. This is Rashi before. Pasuk Hey. Im lavan garti. What does it mean, garti? The word lagur means?
To live.
To live what? How?
Temporary.
Right? Lagur means temporary. Like Abraham used to say to the people of Hey, ger v'toshav anochi imachem. Ger and a toshav. So lagur means to live temporarily. Okay, what does it mean, garti? Lo na'aseti sar v'chashuv. So don't get up on your high horse. I was with Lavan, I was a nothing there. Ela ger, ein cha kedai lisno oti al brachot avicha shebirchani havei gebir la'achecha. Remember that blessed bracha that Dad gave us? Yeah, you should be like important and such an important person. Esav, not to worry. Didn't happen. I'm still a loser. Okay, that's basically what he's saying. A loser. Okay, that's im lavan garti. The whole message, Rashi says, is one of self-negation. Let's go back to the psukim. We came, Esav is coming with 400 men, right? So, yeah, that's a great song. Pasuk Chet, Vayira Yaakov Ma'od Vayetzer Lo. We almost never find language like this. Yaakov was exceedingly afraid, and Vayetzer Lo. I don't even know how to translate Vayetzer Lo.
And it distressed him.
And it distressed him. It caused him tzar. Like, how afraid are you that it causes you physical pain? Okay, what?
An ulcer.
Yeah, interesting. He got an ulcer. Okay, so what does he do? Vayachatz et ha'am asher ito. He splits the people with him. Ve'atzon ve'tabakar ve'tagmalim v'shnei machanot. Vayomer, and he says, Im yavo Esav el machane achat v'hikahu. Should Esav come to one camp and destroy it? Haya machane hanishar lifleitach. So then the second camp will at least survive. I always found this logic exceedingly questionable. Why?
Shouldn't you want to protect your whole family?
Well, but he felt he couldn't. Okay?
Well, Esav had this huge, great army. Why would he not split it and go after both camps?
Right. Well, let's say he wipes out the first camp. And they're going to figure out, well, where's everybody? You know? We don't know. Okay. Well, we're going to find them. Is it really hard for Esav's band of 400 men to run after half a group of men, of women, children, servants, and donkeys?
Maybe he'll think that's it. There's only one camp. He doesn't know how many he has.
Ah, so he wouldn't find out.
Right.
Which begs my only original question. If he wouldn't find out, then why tell him anything in the first place?
Then why what?
Why tell him anything in the first place? You know, like, I mean, whatever. I understand what you're saying. It just, the whole military strategy of splitting the camp so we'll only be half destroyed. Right? Don't you find that troubling? You know, like, you know, and Chazal say, Amar Rabbi Chiya. What?
Stand together and make it
out. Well, no, why would you lose out all your descendants?
Why would you?
Why would you wipe out all your descendants? Hashem promised them a people.
Ooh, 1 second. First of all, let me read you this fun midrash. Said it, we'll come back to that in a second. Limdecha Torah derech eretz. The Torah teaches you derech eretz. Shelo yehe adam noten kol mamono bezavit achad. Shouldn't put all your money in one corner. How do we say that in English?
Don't
put all your eggs in one basket. Right? Yaakov was teaching us not to put all your eggs in one basket. Right, because if Esav wipes out half of the camp, he won't wipe out the whole camp. What did you say? You mentioned a very important word that. No, you said a very important phrase that I wanted to come back for. Right? See if what?
Descendants.
The promise of God. This is what Chazal. This is what the Mefarshim all are dealing with. Why is Yaakov coming back to Eretz Yisrael now? There's a very simple reason why he's coming now.
He made a deal.
No. Why is he coming now? God appeared to him in a vision and said, come home. Somebody pointed out over Shabbat that Yaakov never does anything on his own.
I said that to you. I got that from the shir I went to.
Rina pointed out over Shabbat that she was in a shir who pointed out that Yaakov never does anything on his own. Thank you. Okay, I know I heard this somewhere. And it's true, he never does anything on his own. So he's coming back. Why is he coming back? Kadosh Baruch Hu told him to come back. What's he so scared of? If God says, Yaakov, come home. So you would think that if God says, Yaakov, come home, God is not saying, Yaakov, come home so your brother can slaughter you. Why is he so afraid?
So he's assuming some of his children will be killed.
Oh, interesting. Stumped you all. So you're saying that even though God said, Yaakov, come home, nonetheless, that does not imply supernatural protection. That will come with some suffering. Anybody else want to give another guess? There's only one good theological answer that I saw in basically all the Mefarshim. No one?
Yitzchak.
What?
Maybe your father's going to die.
Maybe your father's going to die. All of them say some, you have to do your Stadler, very good, it's actually true. All of them take some shade of the following theme. Amar Rav Shmuel Bar Nachman, Bo Re'e Tzadikim, Kama Mityarim Min Hachet. God said, come home.
He's
afraid he's not worthy. He's afraid that even though God said to him, come home, like 10 minutes ago, Maybe his sinfulness is such that coming home will bring along with it some significant degree of suffering and pain.
There was also the incident with Abraham, when Abraham told him we would have the land. He said it wasn't going to be without suffering. So there was, it's not so far from him. His grandfather was told that.
Right.
So he's now coming back, and he doesn't know that, you know, he has that prophecy that there's going to be suffering to get back.
Right.
Worried.
So he's worried from his brother. It's so interesting. And so now we come back to our pasuk. You see, but to what degree is he worried? To what degree is he prepared to... Is he preparing himself for this level of suffering? And my further question is the way that he deals with this the proper tact to take?
Ah, that's something else.
Yes. Meaning, what tact does he take?
Grovels.
Groveling. Right. Instead of, he says, maybe the way to deal with this and to avoid the suffering is to subjugate myself to Esau.
He just shows with all his decisions that he's made, he's just got no confidence.
He doesn't have any confidence at all, especially in light of Esau.
When you
right.
rock bottom, you don't think straight.
You don't? Whoa, 1 second. That last word, what'd you say?
You don't think straight.
Meaning what? So what are you saying, basically?
That he made a mistake.
That he was wrong.
Not that he was wrong, but maybe his approach.
His approach was?
Abruptly.
Was?
Flawed.
Flawed, okay. However, the counselor. Obviously, who are we to criticize Yaakov Avinu? I'll say it this way. I find it troubling. It's concerning that he subjugates himself to such a degree. You know, he's such at a position of weakness. Yeah.
He's had 36 years to think about, we don't know what Esau was thinking about. He's had 36 years to think about everything that he did. There was also some reference to the reason that Leah was, that there was a trickery with Leah.
Yeah.
Was connected to his trickery with Yitzchak.
So he thinks he's got it coming?
I think to some degree.
Yeah. When is the other shoe going to fall?
Exactly.
And ironically, what happens in the end? It does fall with who? With what story?
Yes.
No. Well, Yosef also. With Dina.
Yeah, with Yosef.
Yeah. You know, we're not going to do that today, which is very interesting. Let's read on the Psukim. Vayomer Yaakov. So, Nen Yaakov David. So, let's look at Rashi for a second. Vayamachane Anishar Lepleita. Look at Rashi at the end, in the middle of Pasuk Tet. Very famous Rashi. Okay. Al Korcho. Without choice. Why? Ki Alachem Imo. He'll destroy one camp. But I'll be able to save the other camp because I'll fight with him.
Why can't you fight with him?
Yeah, very unusual. Very unusual. You ever see the Rashi? See where I am?
No.
Well, I'll find it again. The middle of Pasuk Tet. Zivrei ha-matchir v'haya ha-machaneh ha-nishar l'pleita. You see it? Here, v'haya ha-machaneh ha-nishar.
I can defend half of my family.
I can protect half of them. I can't protect all of them. Rashi says, al-korcho. You see it? Against his will. Ki alachem imo, I will fight with him. Just let's understand, that's not the pshat. It is the pshat? I guess you're stuck with how else would you, like, what would be the point of splitting the camp? Then you're also stuck with the other question. Like, if you could protect half the camp, why can't I protect all the camp?
Well, then there's also the decision of who goes in which camp.
Right, okay. Hitkin atzmo, Rashi says, l'shlosha dvarim. I'm going to quote this Rashi because you'll see it's interesting. There's two different takes on it. L'doron, doron are gifts. Litzvila.
The kids all learn that.
Right? Right. We learn this to our children, right? You prepare yourself three ways. Gifts, prayer, ula milchama, and for war. The daron gifts, vata'avor amincha al-parav. He sent away all these great gifts to Esau. Litzvila, Elohei Avi Abraham. The milchama, v'haya ha-machaneh ha-nish'ar lifleita. How is Yaakov preparing for war in v'haya ha-machaneh ha-nish'ar lifleita? So Rashi is saying he's preparing for war because he's getting his defenses ready in order to save the second half of the camp. Sound like a battle plan? Does?
Yeah.
Sounds good?
Right. He obviously doesn't.
What would you say if the IDF came out, the home front came out with its plan to deal with the threat from Hezbollah and Iran?
All go down.
Right? Plan number one. Action number one. Immediately retreat and surrender Haifa.
Well, you could argue that they did that.
No. I'm not going today.
No,
okay.
You could argue that we said we'll give you this to protect the rest of that. Whether it's effective or not, we don't know yet.
We don't
have a long-term picture. We only have a 5 years out of the time of history. It's very short.
Yeah.
I did old Davin before my weight.
But I think it shows his reluctance to fight with.
He's very reluctant to fight. Why is he reluctant to fight? Because he wants to get killed.
I don't think that's the only thing. Mm-hmm. I think there's also his guilt playing out.
All right, let's leave that. I don't want to go into interesting. I'm not necessarily concerned with Ryan, right there in the psychology. I'm not interested in why he does what he does, what's motivating him, and how he does it. Look at what Ramban says. I'm going to read a number of things in the Ramban. Ramban says the same thing. He's minas mother shal shad varim. Prepared himself for three things. He's minas ol tefillah, right? That we got ula doron, ula hatzala. Hatzala means salvation. Kederech milchama livroach ulehinatzel. In war, what do? You run away.
That's what Ramban
says. Right. So we always taught our children the three things are he prepared for prayer, gift, and war. Right. We always thought the Rashi is reinterpreting war. He's saying, what is war? Fight. No. Ramban says there's nobody prepared himself. He sent gifts, he prayed to God, and he ran away.
But how do we explain that today? Where do we run to?
What?
Where do we run to?
Away.
Where?
Away.
Here we are.
What?
I don't understand the Ramban. What did we run away from?
From his brother trying to kill him.
But he didn't. He confronted him.
When?
We said at the beginning.
What?
He didn't.
We said at the beginning he could avoid the whole situation by going.
Right, it's a lot of mafreshim. Ramban, actually, they all have to do with it in their other way. Some say that they felt the dome was close enough. That it was too close. Some say, even Ezra says, right, that Radak says that that Esav happened to be in Edom, like, I don't know, on a business trip, but his family was in Canaan. So it was unavoidable. But they all deal with this question, why didn't Yaakov try to avoid him? That would have been the initial thing. And some say that he couldn't, that he was afraid that Esav would find out about it. All of which makes sense, all of which are logical options. But yet, Ramban has a very different take than Rashi. We're used to the three things. Prayer, right, gifts, and war. Ramban says, yeah, war, sure war. What do people do in war if they're smart? They hide.
Yes, if you know you can't win.
If you know you can't win. What?
It's the original Midrash.
The original Midrash, one second. Well, bo re'eh, blah, blah, blah. Let me see if I can find it. Machane anisha
l'pleita. They're both using the same Midrash. They're just interpreting the word. Even, may I?
Yeah. They're using the war approach from the Machane anisha l'pleita, which is not really a war approach.
What do you mean?
Like a survival tactic. But
correct.
Not a,
that's what I'm saying. That Rash, I think that Ramban is. Here we are. Hitinatmo lishlosha dvarim. I'm reading the Midrash from the Tanchuma. Litfila, lidaron, lemilchama. Prayer, gift, and war. I'm just going to skip the milchana minayin. Shneamar im yavo esav el hamachaneh ha'achad. How do you prepare himself for war?
In case Esav
comes to one camp. That half will survive. Does that sound like fighting or it sounds like running away?
It also sounds like running away because you can't, like you said before, it takes a long time to get such a large group of people away, but it takes less time to get a smaller group of people away.
Right. I just think that the idea of, like, you don't see where Rashi's coming from, al korcho shki alachem ima. I will fight with him. I guess Rashi was struggling with why would the second half survive? How would they survive?
But maybe the fact that they survived is a fact.
It has to be. There's only right, that's what he'd say. But it's not in the Pshat. The Pshat really is running away. Again, symbol of weakness. Let's read on. Okay? So now it comes to the prayer. Mayam Yaakov, Elohe Avi Abraham, Elohe Avi Yitzchak, Hashem Ha'omer Elai, Shuv La'artzecha Ulamoratetcha Ve'etiv Ha'imach. God, you told me, come back. Return to your Eretz and to your birthplace, and I will be good for you. Katonti Mikol HaChasadin U'Mikol Ha'emet Asher Asita Et Abdecha. It's like too much for me. I am smaller than all the greatness you've done for me. I came and when I left, all I had was a stick. And now I'm two camps. I'm like I'm a huge person, I'm an important individual. Hatzileni na miyad achi miyad esav. Again, this achi and the esav. Okay? Ki yare anochi oto, because I am afraid of him. Pen yavo vihikani aim albanim. Lest he come and destroy me, man, woman, and child, Emma, money, mother, and children, I mean, all of us. And you had said, I will do good with you. So he prays to God. He really pours out his heart to Hashem. You asked me to come. You said good things. And so Mefarshim are really struggling with it. I mean, all of them come to this some kind of theme that he was afraid of chet, he was afraid of sin. But in reality, he's also afraid of the natural course of events. That God said he would protect him. Yes, but that doesn't mean like you said, it won't come without suffering. That doesn't mean that all his children will survive. And we know historically that there's a lot of truth to that. Yes, God gives promises, and yes, the promises do happen. But who's to say that the promise is going to happen through Ernest? Who's to say there's going to be direct divine intervention? So yes, you'll survive, but it's not going to be all hunky dory.
But what about his emuna that everything's for the best, even if it's difficult?
I think, yes, when people go through suffering, one could say, of course, that Hashem does it for the best, and we have faith that God provides us the things that we need in order to survive. But nobody would suggest that they're looking for suffering because God really knows what's best for us.
He's obviously not, we're not looking
we're
for
still
it,
scared of it. But we still try and avoid it whenever we can. We're still terrified of suffering, even if we know the end result.
It's interesting. At the end, what I think of Miriam when I hear that question, I always think of the paragraph we say at the end of Vidui on Yom Kippur. We say, God, please forgive us. Please give us kapara, right? Please cleanse us. Avalo al yidei yisurim v'chalayim ra'im. But do me a favor, don't make it hurt. I want my kapara, but I don't want to suffer. And you know what? I don't. I always that's a feel that I very much identify with. I
just think he's really optimistic that his tefillah's going to do the job and he's not going to have to worry about the milchamah.
Really? Why? Why do you get that?
I don't know. Because his preparation is half-hearted. Because I just think his davening comes from such a deep place that he's really laying most of his chips on his davening.
Well, he doesn't have a choice. What else are you going to lay it on?
And not on the wall. Not on the third thing.
How many people does he have? Asaph has 400 men. Asaph has 400 battle-hardened soldier warriors. Right? Yeah. What does he have?
Women and children.
Sheep. What? A lot of sheep. If you know what I'm saying.
And kids.
Well, his kids are not children. They're a little older.
No, they're pretty...
How old are they? How old is the oldest one? No, if he's only there...
The oldest one is 12.
The oldest one is 12? Really?
They say that there's one born each year and she's pregnant with Binyamin.
Oh, and he waited 7 years first. Correct. Also, they are very, very young. Okay, that's true. Okay, by the way, and also, who's watching him do this? Totally subjugate himself.
His kids.
And obviously, as we know from the later stories, it clearly affects them.
We see that approach again with Yaakov and Shechem when he says to them later on, "Oh, I had good relations with my neighbors."
And what do they say? And what do they say?
Could we let our sister be defiled?
Right.
And he does.
Well, they don't say that way.
No, but they go.
They don't say it that way. What do they really say?
You're going to let our sister be defiled.
That's not what they say.
We're going to do it our way.
Be defiled? You say it nicely. You're going to let our sister be a prostitute? That's what they say. Hakazona ya'aseh achoteinu. Meaning, your dealings with the neighbors and you always want to make nice, they hit a wall.
To what point?
And that's always the question. That's really the underlying question here. Right? Yaakov is driving the negotiations here, and the negotiations are, from the very get-go, Esav, you win, I lose, please don't kill me. And where we sit now, just like, you know, you can...
His whole thing is self-preservation.
What?
He just wants to preserve a bit, worry about survival.
Mm-hmm. And he says, if you read on, he sends 200 goats and 200 sheep and 200 this and 200 that and gmalim, I'm tetzayna, gmalim, menikot, v'nehem shloshim parot, abaim, uparim asara, atonot esvim, ayarim asara. He's like giving away the farm here, quite literally, okay? Vayitein biyad avadav, eder levado. And he's like, here's one gift, and then break it up and give him another gift and then break it up and give him another gift.
He's still doing it.
Ivru lefanai v'rebach tasim v'in eider v'in eider. We are?
Take this land.
You could look at it the other way. Take this plane. Take this ship. Okay. V'yitzav et avishon le'mor. Ki yivkashcha eisav achim am pasuk yudchet. V'ushelcha le'mor v'mi atav v'ana telechu l'mi eil lefanecha. Okay? And when they tell you, who, and if he sees you, he says, who are you? Amarta le'avdecha le'akov, mincha yishulcha, le'adoni le'esav. He has to get those words in, those two words, each time. Every pasuk, it sings again and again. I am your servant, I am avdecha, and you are? Adoni, my master. Over and over. It's av, gamet hasheni, ve'gamet hashlishi, ve'gamet kol ha'uchim acharei adorim le'mor, kadavar hazeh tedabrun el'esav. Over and over and over again. Like, I'm sick of it.
Yeah, it's nauseating.
What?
It's nauseating.
What do you mean?
Yeah, that he's subjugating himself to such an extent.
Right. Right.
It kind of reminds me of your text when he went too far and he said, when he was in jail, he said, don't forget me.
Mm-hmm.
Like, isn't there a point
where... Well, I don't think Yosef went too far.
It reminds me of, like, pre-Holocaust Jewry.
Right. Very good. Mm-hmm. Very good. Mm-hmm.
But it reminds me of pre-Holocaust Jewry, pre-State of Israel.
Now we turn to the Ramban. Okay? Why is Ramban especially interesting? Because Ramban is reading this parsha living where and when?
Spain.
Correct. Before and up to... Right before the Inquisition, right? I mean, the main Inquisition happened after they kicked him out. Okay, but he's the leader of the Jewish community that's just under the iron grip of, right, suffering under the boot of the, not Ferdinand Isabella as much as the church.
Right, it's 200 years before Ferdinand.
Oh, it is?
Yeah, yeah.
I should know history. So who was the king then? Who was it?
I don't know.
Was it Ferdinand?
But it was 200 years before Ferdinand Isabella.
There's 1600s?
He's in the 1492. Right. No, he died in 1270.
So. Oh, shoot. Okay, I thought I was close.
No, but he did.
He died in 1270?
Yeah. But he debated.
He was kicked out for persecution, wasn't he?
No, he
who was
kicked
the king?
Out.
Who was the king?
One minute.
I saw the whole movie. I did. I'm serious. There's this movie called The Disputation. Yeah. Right. Really worthwhile to see.
So he had the debate with Pablo Cristiani,
right.
And he won.
But who was the king? I remember the king guy.
It was the, I don't know,
some
but
other
the Dominican
Christian,
yeah. Church.
Right.
Said to him, even though you won, you should really leave.
Right.
It doesn't look good.
Now the Chazal, and Ramban especially, is very much seeing the theme of, and he comes to this theme over and over again, of Ma'aseh Avot Siman Lebanim. Right, and he looks at it not just in a practical terms of what he did, we should do, but much more in mystical terms of what happened to them will happen to us and happens to us, and the choices they made directly affect us. And will
happens
affect
to
us
them
as well
because of what they did will happen to us.
Right. Okay. Listen to what Ramban says when the very first message he sends, and I'm on, if you have it, you can look at Pasuk Dalet. Okay, Ramban, you didn't bring your English Ramban this time. Should have told you. Okay, Ramban pasuk dalet el Esav achiv. Okay, so he says the following: Ba'avur hayot Negev Eretz Yisrael al yedei Edom. Right, he's going to the Negev, and the Edom is right next to the Negev. Ba'aviv Yosef Eretz Negev. Yesh lo la'avur derech Edom or karab nisham. He said he had to send him a message because he was going to eventually be close anyway. He says al kein pachad ulai yishma Esav. Therefore, he feared maybe Esav will hear. And therefore, that's why he sent the messengers to Edom. He, like, prompted because he thought Esav would hear. This is what he says. But Chazal criticized Yaakov for doing this. Amru b'bereshit rabba. Bresei and bereshit rabba. What was Yaakov doing? Machzik ba'aznei kelef. He's like grabbing a dog by the ears. Meaning what?
Catching at straws.
What? No. When you grab a dog by your ears, what are you doing? You're provoking it. He's like, why are you provoking Esav? Amar lo hakadosh baruch hu. God said, L'darko haya mahaleach. V'ayita mishalech etzmo v'omer lo ko amar abdecha Yaakov. He says, he was going his way, and you're going your way, and you had to go send him a letter? You had to go start up with him? He says, I think Gamze Yirmos. This will start with us. This teaches us. Ki anachnu hitchalnu nefilatenu bidei Edom. We brought about our own downfall with Edom. Ki malchei bayit sheni ba'u bibrit im haromaim. The kingdom in the time of the second temple, they initiated a brit with the Romans. Right? You start with the Romans, you send them a letter. You initiate contact, sooner or later, what do they want? The keys to the kingdom. So he says, you know, Yaakov, it's very interesting. Yaakov, Ramban says, why did Yaakov initiate? Because he was afraid. What should he have done? Nothing. He should have tried to avoid. And because he didn't, we didn't, they didn't, and we suffer the consequences after. You see this there's an ongoing theme throughout Ramban about all of these things. Okay, 1 second. And then get to another Ramban. Skip to Ramban at the end of Pasuk Tet, if you have it. Okay, we're talking about in Pasuk Tet. Hayam achaneh nishar lepleita. Okay. And remember I said Ramban learned that what was he trying to do? Ramban said, not fight, right. Run away. I'm there at the end of the commentary on Pasuk Tet. Vakavana bazeh. Let's see if we can find it. Again, Ramban on Pasuk Tet. You see it? Vakavana bazeh. Here, right there. Vakavana bazeh. Ki Yaakov yodea, Yaakov nu. She'en zaro kulo nofel biyad Esav. He knows that not all of his children will fall in the hands of Esav. Im ken yinatzel machaneh ha'achad al kol panim. Nonetheless, some of their descendants will be saved. Meaning God won't allow us to all be totally destroyed. The gamzeh yirmoz is also is a remez. That's a remez. When he says remez, what does he mean? Right, remez, but it's not just like it's a hint. It's a remez connection. Is a mystical connection. Right, remember the four levels of understanding Chumash are Pshat, Drash. Pshat is simple understanding, Drash, lessons you learn, Remez, and Sod. Sod is total Kabbalah. Remez is somewhere in between. Okay? Hint, an allusion. This is a Remez. Shalo yigzalu gizuru aleinu b'nei Esav limchot et shemenu. The children of Esav will not decree upon us to totally destroy us. But they'll do terrible things to some of us in some of their lands. One king decrees against us on our money, or al gufenu, or on our bodies. And some other king says, you know what? I'm compassionate. I'll save the refugees. He's writing this 200 years before it happened, right?
Before the expulsion.
Before it happened to him.
I mean, he's still in the middle of the Crusades and all kinds of fun stuff.
You know what I'm saying? So he says, why does Yaakov, he's saying a remez, in Machaneh Achad, if Esav destroys one camp, if this non-Jewish king destroys one Jewish community, at least there'll be another Jewish community left. We won't be totally destroyed. V'chen amru b'breishit rabah, im yavo Esav al Machaneh Achad v'ikau, eilu achenu shebedarom. Right, these are our brothers to the south. Ru'u, he says, Ki gam darot tirmoz zota parsha. This is an eternal message for the future of all generations. Yeah.
The Inquisition started in the south of Spain, and he was in the north of Spain.
Oh, that's what he said? That's what he was referring to?
I'm like 90% sure that when he's talking about Achenu Shebadarom, he's talking about those who are suffering at the hands of the Inquisition in the south, Ferdinand and Isabella united Spain, sort of.
In the south, didn't that happen in some palace in the south?
No, but it moved to the north, but that was 200 years later. But at this point, he's in northern Spain, and southern Spain is, yeah, he's in much, yeah.
Let's continue on our basic survey of Ramban, beginning of this parsha. Turn to Yud Zayin, Ramban on Yud Zayin, if you got it. Okay? Viruach tasimu bein eder. Okay? Rabbah, thank you. Rabbah Tasimu, Kidei Lahasbia Eino Shel Oto HaRasha. So that his eye will be satisfied, that evil person. Okay? We'll skip a little bit. Right? Savru Breshid Rabbah Shieshva again Remez. This Remez appears. It's so interesting that it appears, this theme. And Amar Yaakov Vnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Said Yaakov, Ribono Shel Olam, Im Yiyut Sarot Ba'ot Al Banai. Right, if painful things, terrible things happen to my children, lo tavio tam zo achar zo. It shouldn't happen right after the other. Ella revach lehem mitzaroteim. Give him a break. Sha'asa remez, and he also, when he sent them Esav all this stuff, all this property, shiu hamisim v'harnoniyot shidvu b'nei Esav mizaro berevach ve'afresh ben zo lezo. Right, that when the non-Jewish rulers tried to take money and taxes and impose levies and fees against the Jewish community, it shouldn't happen one after the other. It should just give them a break. You know, like you see, by the way he's reading these parshiot, it's just so powerful because it's one after the other after the other. Skip now to Chaf Vav, Pasuk Chaf Vav. Okay, now we're already in Yaakov and the angel. And we know the story of Yaakov and the angel. He goes back. The angel, the Malach, the Ish comes and he struggles with him all night. Okay, so he says Vayaki lo yacholo. Okay, and then the angel does what? What does the angel do to him?
He hurts him.
Strikes him on the thigh. He injures him. He's lame, Yaakov. Okay, again. 1 second. Vayomer bereshit Rabba. I'm like two lines into that Ramban. Naga bechol hatzadikim sha'atidim lihiyot mimenu. Right, Esav struck the righteous of all those generations. Zed dorosh shel shmad. This is a generation. How would you translate shmad?
Decimation.
Persecution, decimation. Vayinyan ki hameora kulo remez ledorotav. This is a remez again, again and again, right? Sheyed dor bizarro shel Yaakov yitgaber alehem Esav ad sheyeh karov lekaaka bitzatan. I don't even know what that phrase means. Lekaaka bitzatan, I think, means until he like bitza. I don't even know what that phrase means in English. Until he I think it alludes to the like dries out their blood, their essence. We all know like these events, okay, that these generations where it was just impossible, where Esav destroyed our leadership. Skip to the end of the Ramban. V'yesh dorot acherim shasu imanu kazev yoter ra mizeh v'hakol savalnu v'avar aleinu. We've suffered all of this. All of this has passed over us. K'mo shiremez v'yavo Yaakov shalem. So Ramban says, he says over and over again, I've got one more Ramban for you. And you'll just turn to the end of Lamed Gimel and Ramban on Tet Vav. Okay? But he says, this whole story is not the story of Yaakov and Esav per se. It's a story of geopolitical history of the dealings of the descendants of Yaakov with the descendants of Esav.
Generation after generation.
Generation after generation after generation. Okay? He says, look at Tet Vav. Again, afterwards, Yaakov comes to Esav, and Esav says, let's live together. And you know what Yaakov says? No, thank you. Okay? So if you'll just look. 1 second. Look at Tet Vav. Pasuk Tet Vav on Lamed Gimel. Vayomer Esav. I'm skipping a little bit, I know. So Perek Lamed Gimel. Pasuk Tet Vav. I'm sorry, I'm so all over the place. I just want to get to the tangent. Running out of time. Says Esav, Vayomer Esav. You're a Siriyam, I'm a Gimel Tedvav. Vayomer Esav, Atzigana Imcha Miha'am Asheriti. Says, even if I don't stay, you know, I'll leave representatives here to guard you, to make sure you're okay. Okay?
What is the heading?
Lamed Gimel Tedvav. Okay. Lamed Gimel Tedvav. Vayomer and Es Yaakov says, Lamazem Sachin Beini Adoni. He says, no. You're so nice. Thank you so much. I don't deserve it. You know, like really, I don't deserve that kind of treatment. Meaning, i.e., please don't go home.
Thank you.
I beg you, pretty much. Okay. Look down. See the Ramban. Lama ze emsachen beinei Adoni. Okay. So it says, Rabotein, two lines in. Rabotein ra'u b'ze etza. Okay, the rabbis looked at an etza, meaning Yaakov did not want to have anything to do with Esav. Amru Rabbi Yanai karavasalik lemachuta havi mistakel bahada parsita velo hayu nasiv imei Romain. Meaning the Rabbi Yanai would look in this parsha to know how to deal with the Romans. Why? Skipping one line. Mipnei shaita kabbalah biyadam. This was the kabbalah in their hands. Shizo Parshat Galut. This parsha of Yaakov and Esav is the parsha of Galut. When the Jewish representative, the Reish Galut, had to go to the Roman whatever and deal with communal issues, haya mistakel b'parsha zo lalechet achrei etzat zakeno. Before he would go and deal with the Romans and whatever, before he would go to the government and ask whatever he would ask for, he learned Parshas Vayishlach. Ki mimenu yiru hadarot v'chein yasu. And when they would say, let us walk you home, he would say, thank you so much. No, thank you. They don't want to be close to us for our sake. But just the language of the Ramban is so powerful. This whole parasha is Parshat HaGalut.
It feels like a bomber.
What?
I'll support you, I'll give you whatever, I'll hold your hand, just give efforts, just give effort.
Right. So then the question becomes, obviously, what's my question now that I read all this? Like, we're missing a parshan for today.
Yeah.
Now we're reading all this, like, and it bothers me, really bothers me. But now I understand why it bothers me. After reading the whole Ramban, I understand why it bothers me, because I don't have the Yaakov mentality, the Galut mentality, thank God. I don't think, we don't live in a time where, like Rina said, it's like, sounds like the Holocaust. Exactly what it sounds like. Run! And if they catch up to you and kill half of you, keep running!
Where are we running to?
That's it. Right. Well, but it's more than that. We don't ask where we're running to, where should we run. Instead, we have a totally different attitude.
Why should we run?
We're not going to run.
There's no reason for us to run.
Remember that time? Remember we said, somebody said, I was showing somebody, I remember who was visiting the mamad. And they said, it was your father. And they said, and he asked, he said, well, what happens if there's a terrorist? There's no lock on the mamad.
I ask Guy that every single day.
What? You ask that question? You know what the answer is? We don't run from terrorists.
Yeah, they just get in.
Right. When there's
if there was a terrorist in my house, I would grab my children, run.
You would, but what would all them? What is everybody else supposed to do?
Pull out their guns
and go start fighting them. That's what in Israel, or that's what they do. What are you going to do? That's not the reason. There's no lock in the mamad is because we don't hide anymore. Right? You want to stay here? We're here.
They're going to get in.
They're going to right. Might as well do meaning the whole point of the mamad is a bomb is coming. What are you going to do? You can't. You have to protect yourself.
That's why some people actually don't make those secure rooms.
You need to. It's a law, I think. I think you have to.
In the old buildings, there aren't mamads.
No, now it's a law. But we live now in a time of a totally different mentality. Thank God. We don't have this idea of Parshat HaGalut.
Not all the Jews, just the Jews in Israel.
Okay.
Jews around the world.
Right. No. But I would argue the Jews in diaspora, their mentality is based upon the fact that there is an Israel. And that Israel sees itself and has for many years now as the protector of Jews around the world.
Yeah.
Right? Israel Menchebe was the best example of it, but Israel sees itself as concerned about Jewish community centers and synagogues and security and protection of Jews around the world. Right. So it's so interesting. What do we do with this Parshat HaGalut? So let's look at one more Ramban I have to share with you. Okay? Look at the next Pasuk. After this whole story is over, it's what the Torah says, and Pasuk Yudchet, Vayavo Yaakov Shalem Ir Shechem. Yaakov came Shalem, whole, complete, to the city of Shechem. Where is Shechem?
Shechem is in the north.
But where is it now, and most importantly? Where was he until now? Where was Yaakov until now? Yaakov was, interestingly enough, where was the battle with Esav? The symbolic battle with Esav was at Yachal Yabok, but where? On which side of the Nachal? On the far side. Remember, he carried all of his children and all the things over, and he went back to go get the Tupperware. The battle with Esav is where?
The battle with Esav.
The epic battle is in Chutz La'aretz. Right? As soon as he comes back over,
it's complete.
By the way, and then he does confront Esav as he comes back over. He doesn't not confront Esav. It's a totally different Yaakov. Right? What happened to the camp and half the camp? You notice, by the way, he splits the camp. All of a sudden, they meet Esav, and who's there? They're all there. What happened?
He's also now Israel.
Now Israel. Different personality. It says Ramban, I'm just reading, I'm going to read for you. L'fi da'ati amar ha-katuv ki b'sukot haya mitpached be'esav. In Sukkot, outside, he was afraid of Esav. V'adi yoto, I'm skipping a little more, be'eretz Kanan lo shakat libo. When he got back to Eretz Kanan, until he got into Kanan, he was afraid. Ki az yada, then he knew, Shelo Yigabo Aviv, Karov Misham, his father was close. Oshiazu Anshe Haaretz, or other people would help him. Or, oh, he says, Shizchut Haaretz Tatzilehem. The Zchut of Eretz Yisrael will save him. Then he quotes the Ibn Ezra Amar, Rabbi Abraham, Ki Hizkiya Katu Bazeh, what does it mean? Vayakov Shalem Ir Shchem Laodia Ma'ala Gdola Le'eretz Yisrael. Umi Sheyesh Lo Chelek Ba Chashuv Hu Kechelek Olam Haba.
But then why do we say Elokei Abraham Yitzchak Yaakov?
And not Israel?
Because we say Abraham. We don't say Abraham.
I don't know. Mm. I don't know. Question. I don't know. Meaning, we have to look at this whole parsha of Yaakov Avinu, at least in the eyes of the Ramban, as being parsha to Gola, and then say to ourselves, okay, so now what? Now, obviously, the Mashiach hasn't come. We're not in Gula. But we're in the middle somewhere. We find ourselves hanging. And I don't necessarily... I think that Yaakov's dealings and the Ramban's dealings and the Holocaust dealings, those are over. Thank God. Where we split our camp into two and we run away and we hope they don't kill us all.
So we live in a... basing it on biblically.
What?
What are you basing that on?
Vayakov Yaakov Shalem... Vayavo Yaakov Shalem Yerushchem. Right? That's there. But now we're here. And what do Yaakov's children say? What do Yaakov's children do? Right there in Shechem. That story right there then. Right. Yaakov was still Yaakov. And his sons say, no, no. We don't play this game anymore. Right. We stand up for ourselves, or we don't have anything at all.
So we learn from him what not to do?
I don't know. It's a very hard question. We learn from him what to do in that situation.
But we're
not in that situation.
We're divided because there's so many people outside of Eretz Yisrael are taking his approach of appeasement, give them what they want, give them what they want. And in Israel, we're saying, wait a second, not all of us.
Now, this is the dominant Jewish community in the world. The question is, will we assert? I always feel like, do we assert ourselves? Do we assert our identity? Do we say, like I sometimes feel, not I sometimes feel, I've always felt, that our hold on the land of Israel is only as strong as our desire to hold it. And our strength, you know what I'm saying? Like when Netanyahu said, finally, Baruch Hashem, he finally said, this is Yerushalayim, and Yerushalayim is not negotiable. You know what I'm saying?
It's about time.
Like, and the more we say that, like, I think there are a lot of non-Jews in America, at least, saying, thank you. You know what I'm saying? That when we say, this is our land, then the world will say, yes, it is. But if we continue to have the Yaakov mentality of, Please don't. Subservience. Then the message is clear.
And the subject is clear.
Okay, let me stop here. I just want to make one more announcement.